And thanks, Nathan. Thanks again to everybody who has contributed so far in our fall membership campaign. We really appreciate the help. We really appreciate the support. If you haven't gotten around to doing it, why don't you call 410-235-1395. Make your pledge. Become a sustaining member. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. The Baltimore Book Festival begins in about, well, a little less than 2 hours from now down at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. There are various stages set up along the waterfront promenade. You've got the City Lit stage, the Food for Thought stage, the Health and Wellness stage, the Ivy Bookshop stage, and several others, including the Enoch Pratt Free Libraries Children's stage. And among those gracing that stage tomorrow and Sunday are my guests this morning, Maria Broom and Laurel Snyder. Laurel Snyder grew up in Baltimore. She lives in Atlanta now. She's the author of 5 novels for children, as well as several picture books and 2 volumes of poetry. Her latest picture book is called Swan, The Life and Dance of Anna Pavlova. Now, Maria Broom, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, she is a treasure in our community. She's an actress with many television and stage credits, a storyteller, a teacher, a dancer. She's a former reporter, a Fulbright Award winner, along with many, many other awards. And now she can add to that illustrious list an author. Her book for children is called The Village Bully. Maria Broom and Laurel Snyder join me this morning in Studio A. Good morning. Welcome to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Miss Maria, as you are known and beloved by generations of kids and grown-ups alike, The Village Bully tells the story of Michael Jose Jamal. About a year ago, you and I were at the OSI Big Change Forum, the Open Society Institute, of which you are a former fellow. They had these things called Big Change Forums. They've done a couple of them, and I've been very blessed to be asked to moderate both of those. And you performed the book, The Village Bully, for that audience, and blew people away. I mean, it just captivated the room, as you have captivated so many rooms in your career. I wonder if we could start by your giving us a taste of The Village Bully right from the beginning of the book.
Be my pleasure. Michael Jose Jamal was bigger than most of the boys. He was taller than his dad. He always seemed mad, and he liked making whole lots of noise. He loved his grandmother, who moved far away. He had a little sister, but she died one day. His mother was sad and got very sick. His father was around, but they just didn't click. He stayed to himself almost all of the time, and he knew only one way to get a dollar or a dime. Looking mean, he would say, "Give me what you got. Give it to me now, or I'll hurt you a lot."
Michael Jose Jamal, we learned so much about him in just the first couple of pages of this beautifully illustrated book. The plot of this book, as it were, is based on a tradition in African villages of dealing with kids like Michael Jose. Tell us where this, the genesis for this story comes from.
I had read an article about a decade ago about a village in Africa, I think the Babemba tribe, I think is the name of it, that when someone in the village did something very wrong, something hurtful or damaging, everything would stop, all work would stop. And the villagers would create this huge circle around the person that had done the deed. And one by one, each person in that circle would say something positive, something good that they knew about that person from the time he was born up until the present day. It took hours, sometimes days. And what they were actually doing was creating a circle of love, a circle of mirrors to remind that person who he really is. And then, of course, by the end of the days or the hours, there was this reconciliation and the person remembered and he was forgiven and he actually could offer some sort of apology or whatnot. So I thought, what a great concept, but how could we do something like that here in America where we really promote and make money off of punishment? So I thought, if we started with the children, so this story poem came through, The Village Bully, and I now present it to schools and to children and to clubs and to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Freedom Schools, so that the children can actually do it for themselves, and with the hopes that we would grow a whole generation of people that would do more healing instead of punishing. And I saw its effectiveness because so many of the children themselves have been hurt. They grow up in families and in neighborhoods and communities where it's punishing for them to live and grow up in those families and neighborhoods. So for other children to see the good things in them and to call it out, to affirm them, it was healing.
Sure. And of course, you know, the amount of PTSD, the amount of depression, the amount of mental health problems that some of these children are dealing with if they're living in neighborhoods and in households that are, you know, such rough going, that doesn't get thought about a lot. Yeah. And when people talk about bullying, they talk about the person who is bullied.
Exactly.
They very rarely talk about the reasons behind the person doing the bullying.
Right. And they're the ones that need the healing. And if you don't start it with the healing with the children, then it grows up to, they grow up to be teenagers who are actively bullying and hurting, and then you grow up to be adults who have this wall around them and they're hurting others.
Sure. And Laurel Snyder, your book is about a very famous ballerina from Russia, Anna Pavlova. Mm-hmm. Talk about Anna's significance to the art of ballet.
Well, so, I mean, her significance to ballet is that she was and sort of remains the most famous ballerina of all time. But more importantly, when she was dancing, when she began to dance, she began as a very poor child in White Russia. And it was this insane stroke of luck that she ended up in the Imperial Dance School and sort of took that experience of having come from this place of poverty and then ended up in these amazing places. And at that time, ballet was really something that existed only for the very wealthy in European capitals. And so Pavlova kind of said, well, this has transformed my life. Everybody deserves to have this in their lives. And so she went and, I mean, just got on steamships and packed up her group and, I mean, packed up like portable dance floors and went to, you know, dirt floors in Mexico. And I mean, she went to Australia and she went to, you know, Japan and she went to India and she traveled the world and kind of brought dance to places that didn't have a place, didn't even have a venue for something like that, and introduced it. So really, I feel like when I was a dance student myself as a child, when I look at dancers, when I go to do events around the country now for this book, what I want to say to them is there would be no dance school in Iowa or Georgia or wherever I am if it weren't for Pavlova or someone like her. So.
Yeah. I had the great good fortune, again, another wonderful blessing, to find myself vacationing in St. Petersburg, Russia, this summer. And I went to the Mariinsky Theater and saw the Mariinsky Ballet. And I tell you, the Russians, they take their ballet pretty seriously.
It's a whole different thing.
I mean, there are superstars the way we have, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z are superstars. The ballerinas in Russia are superstars.
Absolutely. So,
and this is a marvelous, marvelous story. And Maria Broom, you mentioned that you have used this in workshops. You've used the Village Bully in workshops. You actually also have been doing workshops for years on stress management for children.
That's true.
You know, and again, God bless for recognizing and understanding that kids are stressed. I mean, I think grown-ups tend to think, well, what's stressful about being a kid? You're just a kid. You know, it's easy. You know, wait till you get in the real world. You know? But there are things that children can do, and reading books like this is one of them. What are some of the other techniques that you employ to help children relieve this stress that they clearly feel?
Every class that I teach, in any public school, private school, always starts with the circle of silence. The children have to take their shoes off. And we sit in this big circle, and we do this deep breathing. And then we get to just open our hearts, and I pass around a little bell that they can hold in their hands. And I said, when it comes to you, send love wherever you want it to go. They are so excited about doing that. It's empowering to them to think that what I think and what I say out of my mouth will actually help somebody in Africa, in India, in Japan, or my grandmother in the hospital, or my father who's away at war. Just this whole idea of coming into your heart, doing deep breathing. With the older students, the teenagers, we sit in that circle of silence and we do a lot of self-forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Children grow up with so much guilt, especially once they get to be teenagers, about what they think they've done that's wrong. And so, and they carry it like little pebbles. And I keep saying, take these pebbles, take them off one by one, forgive yourself, and then forgive somebody who did something wrong to you, whether it was a sibling, a parent, or a friend, or a stranger. So just these little techniques, children are really very, very, they're much like sponges and welcoming for exercises that use their spirit, their heart, and their mind, you know. They're just as welcoming for that as they are for games and sports. but it has to be offered to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a genuine way.
In a genuine way that they like and that's different, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that interested me about your book, Laurel, is that it's got a sad ending.
Yes, it does.
And a spoiler alert for the parents who are thinking about getting this for their kids. But Anna Pavlova, of course, like all of us, passes away. And it's interesting. I was thinking about, you know, were I reading this to my kid, who's now 27 years old and doesn't let me read to her anymore. But, you know, good night story, a good night, you know, before bedtime story. What do you think about the impact of that on children?
I think that sometimes we just do children a disrespect. By, I mean, it's not unlike what Maria was just saying. We have a sense of what we as adults imagine children can do and handle and you know, sort of encompass. And we have an idea of what a book should be for them. We have an idea for what an activity should be for them, for what a song should be for them. And then, you know, we're listening to adult music in the car and your kid loves it. And you go, oh, yeah, you can love all music, not just children's music. I think that something has happened in picture books where we forget what children go through. Children are sad all the time. Children are angry all the time. Children have a huge range of emotion. Mm. And if we produce a literature for them that doesn't reveal that, that doesn't show that, that's just sort of all happy bunnies wandering around in the field, that's because we need to believe that that's what childhood is, not because that's what children actually can handle. And it's been really interesting as I do these events. It was her death was beautiful and her life was well lived. And I feel like we can't expect more in life than to accomplish what she accomplished and die well and loved and surrounded by our accomplishments. And so I felt like it was a great place to showcase not a book about death to help children deal with death, but to just make it clear that like a life well lived ends and then their legacy continues beyond that, which is what Pavlova's story tells us. And admittedly, I wouldn't intend this book for a 2-year-old necessarily. Like, it's really an older reader's picture book and a poem and art. But I it was very, very important to me that I couldn't do this book unless I found an editor who could let me include the death scene. And my experience has been that when I go to do events with kids, it's astounding to me. I read it, and then we get to a point where the kids say, so she died. And I say, yeah. And they go, okay. Like, they get it. They know that
stuff
that's
happens.
Part of life.
Yeah.
We as parents want to protect them from that awareness, but that's absurd.
Yeah.
Children are sad all the time.
It's the same with the line, and he had a little sister, but she died one day.
Yeah. And that comes right out of the gate in your book. Yeah.
And the children are like,
that happens.
And that happens. And then they start asking, well, how did she die? And then they start saying, well, maybe she got shot.
Yeah.
Or maybe she had a disease. Or maybe she fell down the step. I mean, they just.
And they own the book that
they
way.
Own
a,
they, yeah.
A yeah, big yeah, part yeah. of writing yeah. for children is skirting
okay.
their parents.
Yeah.
Is getting around their parents and to them.
Exactly. Maria Broom's book is called The Village Bully. Laurel Snyder's is called Swan, The Life and Dance of Anna Pavlova. Maria Broom will be appearing at the Baltimore Book Festival tomorrow at noon. Laurel Snyder will present her book at the festival on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It begins this morning. At 11 o'clock at Baltimore's Inner Harbor. We've got a link to the complete schedule on our website, wypr.org. Thanks to you both.